Well, I want to begin my sermon by saying this. All Christians can get it wrong. All Christians can get it wrong at times. If you are a Christian, there is a point in your life where you can get it wrong. Whether you consider yourself a strong or weak Christian, you can get it wrong. And this, I'm not saying this out of me. This is what the Bible says. This is what we are seeing this morning from this text from Romans 14. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Romans, that you got it wrong. And there is something for every person. Whether you are weak or strong today, really God is still can speak to you and have something to say to you so that you grow in godliness, you grow in the fear of the Lord, so that you face the world with confidence that you have been saved and prepared to live as a Christian in this in wherever the Lord may place you. Is it exciting? Why you are looking at me as if you is it exciting? So what is your heart's desire as a believer? If you wouldn't want to be as your master wants you. Because after all, you are not growing yourself, isn't it? Well, if you are what you are because of the books you read or the lifestyle you live, and then you are missing out. But if you live in the light of what your master does for you, all that he says to you is what is building you up in your worldview and also where he has placed you. And so you can rejoice. And that is why some people come to churches just running. They just want to go and hear what the Lord will say to me today. And they go out from their places, transform and change, filled with the Holy Spirit and power to live and to know God's purposes and God's plans. If that is not the attitude, and then we run the risk of really wasting our time. And I'm saying this for your blessings and for your benefit, me included. And you know that all I said all. When a preacher said all, that means they are included. If you have heard a preacher who says all and he excluded himself, he is not a man of God. Can I say that? Yep, that means that you are above the people and you think you have made it. And no, that is not what the Bible says. All we sit under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only master. I love this verse which says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. But perhaps I'm tempted to say, perhaps there are some men who do not live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now I have to do it myself. I have to listen to myself. Well, this is not what the Lord says. So this word of God to the Corinthians then and to us even today, this morning, is to help us as the body of Christ to be healthy and strong, as I said. So perhaps when the Bible talks about the body of Christ, it's talking about the health of the body of Christ, isn't it? So you know when the body is healthy. And when the body is not healthy, there are a lot of troubles. So the health of the church is so close to God's heart and to Jesus' heart in particular. Whether it's a local church or a universal church. That is why we rejoice over hearing good things when the Lord does things with a particular body of Christ, a particular work of the Holy Spirit in transforming lives, conversions, confession of sins, people being meek and gentle. Because the work of God, so you start powerfully strong in your own mind. Then you start to realize the Lord is begin to reveal to you your sins and the things that are in you. You are transformed, become gentle, withdrawal, like what we heard from these kids today. You think of others more than yourself. And then you begin to be really shaped in such a way that you will be able to testify. You open your mouth, the word of God, and people are saved. I say to people, I think I'm just... The people, look, there are a lot of unconvert art around us. I myself am aware of this. But most of the time, we are unable really to to help them come to the Lord. So it's something I throw there we need to think about. And perhaps this morning, as we go through this text, we will be able to see why, maybe why we are unable to help others. So here in this text, Romans 14, the address was to the strong in faith, those who were strong in their faith, and also to those who were weak in their faith. And then I will explain this. So the strong in their faith were passing judgment on those who were weak in their faith on matters which were really not fundamental to their salvation. So today, we can have problems and disputes over small things. Perhaps I'm not wearing a tie. If I'm not wearing a tie, then people say, oh, this is not a Presbyterian minister. Also, wearing casual, wearing jeans to the pulpit. When my focus might be on really something different, on the Lord, isn't it? So I know that I think that are not appropriate. And so even sometimes what is not appropriate to you might not be the case with me. But however, we are called to bear one another. So who were the weak? Who was the weak in this text? Because verse 1 says that, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. So who are the weak in this text? Well, we don't have it straight away in this text, but reading Romans, we find out that the church in Jerusalem was made up of Jews and Gentiles, people from different cultural backgrounds, people from different religious backgrounds, those people who were called by the Lord Jesus himself, who confessed him to be their master and were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. They made a body of Christ. But there were things that were really causing this unit, this body, having troubles, because some people were passing judgment on the fact that those who were strong, and they're strong here in this text were the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were not observing certain traditions like the Jews. The Jews were really pedantic about food and circumcisions and things like that. And you know, Paul said, like, it's not circumcision really matters. It's to be saved by the Lord. And so these strong people, the Jews, because of the liberty that they experienced, that was like a Damascus Road experience, like Paul going to Damascus and bang, meeting the risen Savior. A person like this, how much revelation he has received from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit that has come upon him is his teacher, teaching him what to avoid and not to avoid. You see, and he will not be really tied down by human traditions that are not fundamental to the salvation or even to his witness. And so the Gentiles were free, and they were eating anything. You see, they were, you know, like, for example, even certain Christians, they wouldn't eat meat. And actually, this will come up as an illustration, so I don't have to work very hard to bring illustration from outside. Yeah, so my tradition, where I was coming from, is like every illustration, every example must come from the Bible. Not must, it was just like natural. Because the Bible actually gives us everything. So the Gentiles were making it so harder, for the Jews Christians, the Gentile Christians, because they were so strong. And so they were passing judgment on the Jews Christians. And here Paul says to them, because one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but other man whose faith is weak, it's only vegetables. This is not good news for vegetarians. But actually, it's just something you decide. That doesn't make you special, because you are a vegetarian and I'm whatever, meat lover. See, so this doesn't make you unique. It doesn't make you acceptable to God more than others. No. Or you eat your food out of a farm, fresh. Other people are not getting that fresh. They go to Coles and they trust that it's okay. Okay? And that will never affect his their salvation. So Paul says, you, they're strong. Now the first part is addressed to the strong. It's telling them that do not pass judgment on this person. And to judge is means to say he is not useful in the body. Can that cause trouble if a part of a body is told that you are not useful? If someone said you are not useful and that you haven't made it, when in your heart you are sincere, what you do it as Paul will say later, you did out of faith. Someone else. I just don't want to go outside the text. We can have more example is brought on Sunday, but this is not the issue. Just let me stick to this because there's no time for this, and we all know these things. Shall I go to disco? Because if I don't drink or I don't do anything, can I go? I'm not giving a theological statement here, but I'm just using that as an example because some people, they want to accompany their friends perhaps to help them out of that. Even some people go to those places and they try to help them, but this is not our subject today. So Paul is saying here, you who are strong, do not pass judgment because this person's faith seem look to you as weak. So you cannot do that because what happens here, they reject the weak from their fellowship. They reject the weak from their fellowship. The person who is observing a lot of things. When I was overseas, someone asked me, where did you worship on Sunday? Because to some people, it's just you must go to church on Sunday. And I say you must go if you are able. But before I went, I met a research where I can go on Sunday to pray if I'm not traveling on Sunday. But I know also in the Middle East, in the Arab world, Christians also can meet on Friday, can meet on Saturday. Because Friday is a public holiday. When I was in Egypt, it was the case. So people were meeting on Sunday, on Friday, and it was the Lord's day to them. And actually, Paul will say that all the days will be are the Lord's. So you are not useful in the body, if they say that. So Paul gave us the illustration in verse 2. One man's faith allow him to eat everything, but other man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. Must not look down. How many times have you looked down on someone? Because he doesn't manifest faith the way you do. To some people, faith to them is the ethical, the behaviors, the morals they have. But if that is the only thing you have, I can tell you that there are a lot of Muslims, they are like upright as well. Like they look like upright. They can abstain from a lot of things. But that doesn't make them friends with God. That doesn't make them believers. Something they are taught. But all that we want to make sure of is what we have is from the Lord or not. That is what matters. This is what makes you a Christian. When you go out, you are not Christian because people will hardly differentiate between you and others. We are ordinary people. That is why the people in the world, they are so angry with us most of the time. When we think that we are better than them, we are not any better than them. And also, we don't share with them the privileges we have with the Lord. We don't even open our mouth to share that their sins can be forgiven. Oh, you always said, you don't want to preach to others. But be nice to them, be kind to them, so that they may know the hope that is in you. And then they might come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the things that Paul is saying. Saying, you who are strong, do not look down on the others, because that will make your fellowship so weak, so empty of the power of God, so empty of the grace of God, so empty of God's glory. So this is what you need to know. The area of food as an example. And also, he says, consider one, those are some people consider one day more sacred than another. That is in verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. If someone sits in his house on Sunday, just singing, just put on Christian music, singing, praising and praying and reading their Bible. And you come, what are you doing? Oh, you should go for a walk, or you go fishing, or you go and hang out with your friends. I say, well, look, I'm off day, and so I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to just honor my God today. And also it's good, because as you do that, so the Holy Spirit will work through you. You can be here living as you sit and listen to the word of God and pray and do and meditate on that. Or even to have Christian friends and just share grace together and love one another and serve one another. So if other people, they take it seriously, Paul says, you who might even go out and do other things out of faith. Because also, if someone is in need, perhaps, and the Holy Spirit has raised you up to be the Good Samaritan, isn't it? I take the Good Samaritan as to be the opportunity that God has given to you to do good to others. If the Lord would want you to be the Good Samaritan on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, will you go? And if you say, I don't want to go because I'm sitting and having a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and then the other person will say, the strong person who is raised up to be the Good Samaritan, say, oh, this is ridiculous. You don't understand. So Paul is bringing really a warning here. He says, let us be really careful here. Let us follow the Holy Spirit. All these things, if you do them out of his guidance and his leadership, they will not make you a weak believer or will not make you a strong believer. So this is the area. So the clearest understanding of why these strong believers were judging was from the fear that such a person, if they start to behave like this, eating everything, and also causes calling all days to be sacred and not putting emphasis on one day, they fear that they might fall out of the grace. They may not continue to be Christian. That is part of the concern these people have here. That is what Paul is going to say. He said, oh, hang on a minute. You don't understand because you are strong in yourself. And you don't fall because you were not really strong also in yourself. No, he says, it's the Lord who will do all these things. He says, he will stand, this person. So you don't have to pass judgment on the basis of the fact that if they are not behaving like you, they may fall out of faith. Isn't it? That is what Paul is saying. So he said, no. Look, now is a command, is an apostolic command. Accept him. At verse 1, accept him whose faith is weak. Accept him. Accept him. So I was listening with great interest to the interaction of the children with Susan today, this morning. And if you have not come to full realization and acceptance of the fact that God speaks through children, I tell you, then you don't read your Bible properly. Out of the mouth of the babes, he ordains praises. So they said, Vach of Peter Hells. He said, his name is Hanania. So you say it, whatever. If you speak German now, you will say it differently, isn't it? This young boy said, God sent Paul so that this man will be good to others. And so Jesus saves us so that we can be good to others. We know his goodness so that we can be good to others. And that is why Paul is warning them, saying that you have not learned the ways of the Lord properly. If you still do this, accept him. Don't waste time. And he will explain more why. My time is flying. Because God has accepted him, that is in verse 3, God has accepted him, and the one whom the Lord accepts, no one can reject. That is what he says in verse 3. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. God has accepted him. See, I'm focusing on the strong here. He is told to accept the weak. But because the verses are put together, you see the weak also, there are something for the weak. And that I will emphasize shortly. You cannot judge him or condemn him. Also, Paul says, because he is someone else's servant, you as a believer, you are the servant of Jesus Christ. If you are truly saved, you have this relationship with him. You are so precious. You are his own. Whoever touches you touches the apple of his eyes. That is why he does not allow anybody else to judge his servant. I don't have, even as a pastor, right to judge anyone, because we are all servants of a one master. And he is the judge himself. He is our savior. He works in us now and to make sure that we arrive. And when he comes, we will shall rise and sing Hosanna. Our master has come and joined with him and sing greatly and with joy. And that is why Paul wants every believer to be ready, to be perfect, and to be free to worship his master. And these words is brought to you today to your attention, that you have this, you know this. If we have become judgmentals in our fellowship, and then we need to consider this. Not to judge, because we have another judge. Because he is someone else judged. You find that in verse 4a. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Is the Lord himself, the master, will keep him. His master will keep him. For none of us live for himself, and he will pick up that in verse 7. Yeah, so the reason is given why we should not do that. Accept him. Do not judge him. He's somebody else. Servant, it's not yours. And he who has called him is able to judge him on that day. You must not look down on him. You know, I read a story that, you know, like social classes sometimes can be a problem. I think a poor young man got married to a very highly educated intellectual from upper echelon of her society. In the first place, they pretended that they love each other, and then later on, when they go out to order ice creams, and the guy even he wouldn't know how to pronounce an ice cream, and that was becoming a problem to them. And other people have used this. So other people may look down on people like this. But the Bible says that here this morning, there's no place for this in the body of Christ. On the other hand, quickly, the weak were also found guilty of condemning the strong. They were condemning them as also not in the faith. And so we end up having a divided congregation with the strong and the weak. And then there is this judgment and there is this condemnation. And such a body like that, a house that is divided, cannot stand in the face of sin. If you are such a person like this, you cannot resist sin. You will always fall flat until you come to the conviction and pray and rid of these things so that you can become a proper believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the weak also were found guilty of condemning the strong. Why again, God says, the Lord says, God has accepted him also, you see. God has accepted him also. And this is not a license to certain practices, because every text is unique and every issue is addressed, isn't it? Every issue is addressed. But today is the issues are in relation to food during that time. And in our time today, perhaps people who are not eating healthy food and they are Christian, maybe they don't afford very healthy food. You don't know some people, they eat just eggs and drink milk just to survive. But that didn't stop them from being filled with the Holy Spirit and power and be humbled before the Lord. And actually, they bring joy to the hearts of their master. I heard many years ago from a scholar, I think his name was David Jenkins. He said, if you want to find a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps you may not find it in the greatest centers, in the greatest capitals of the European countries. Perhaps you find a true believer in a village in Nigeria or in Singapore. Is this saying something to us, challenging us today as Christians in Clayton? What we have become, if we are not living as followers of Christ Jesus, then he shed his blood in vain. And your testimony and your witness will never influence even your neighbor. So all of us, we can be found like this. If we have this attitude of judgment and condemnation, if you don't have this view of the one who has loved you, and this is what I want to come and finish with in the end of this passage that we have read this morning, why again God has accepted him. Apostle Paul now turns to the work of Christ. Why we cannot do this? Why we cannot judge? Why we cannot look down on others? Even if I speak 10 languages, even if I wear the best watch in this world, or even I don't have a watch at all, if I have only one pants, if I have nothing at all, but if I'm glorying in Christ and being so sensitive to his Holy Spirit and to the needs of the people around me, whether they are poor or rich, educated or not, white or black, yellow, red, it doesn't matter. The revelation is so great, the revelation of Christ, is to take us from this world and to give us the vision of God who has created all of us in his likeness. I may not look like you, but I'm created in the likeness of the Lord God Almighty. And you are too. You see, why the Bible says this? So you know that you are precious. If Jesus could save you alone. You, and to save you, and to fill you with his Holy Spirit, the fear of God to come upon you. I heard preachers saying, even if you were the only human being on earth, Jesus still will come down. Sometimes good to hear other people to quote them. So you are so precious. You are so precious. And you are made together to be a body, because you heard the other day, I can't be a head. The head can't be the arm. But each other, we help each other. I dance to the music that is being played by others. I may raise up my beautiful voice if I have ever a beautiful voice. Or even you can pray in faith if you think your voice is not good. You can just rejoice. And the faith will affect people around you. So what does the Bible says here? What is Paul saying here in this text? He's saying these people, they became believers at a price. Jesus Christ has paid it all. I love this song. We should sing it, Anna. For Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Just as each of us is a member of the body, Paul says here now, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Because other people may think that if you do this, you fall away from the faith. That is what Paul's saying. He's saying, don't worry that they fall away. And falling away, the picture here is like dying in your sin. But Paul says no. Stop judging. Stop looking down. Whatever happens, the Lord is in it. And he went on to say, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. He secures our salvations. He says, no one can go very low where he cannot raise him. So he is the Lord of the weak and the strong. This is what he's saying. He is able to keep them. And that is why he died. So he died to finish his work. His work is so powerful to do all these things. To keep a weak, a strong, and also to keep a strong, humble. So that his body is perfect, is strong, and is wonderful. So he is the Lord of the both, of both the living and the dead. You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? He just reiterated this point again. It's very important, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Can you see that? Hands off, mouth sealed. Why? Because we worship not a dead Savior. He's alive. And he is even in our presence this morning, if you believe that. If two or three gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. And he's rejoicing as your heart is shining to give him all the glory as your master. But it's just, you need to delight in this. I want to encourage you as my people, when we come to church, we rejoice in his presence. We receive his power while we are here. We know his presence. You need to send the presence of Jesus Christ even as we worship him here. You need to know that you are rejoicing in him. You are enjoying his word being preached to you. You are rejoicing in your salvation, or the fact that he has saved you. He shed his own blood so that he made sure that he created for himself a body. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And the reasons that the apostolic message is for the church to be strong, so that we tell of the wonders of this gospel, that Jesus Christ lived and died for us. And this is our message, to take this message of reconciliation, because he is the judge. He is the ultimate judge, because he is judging his work himself. You see, he is judging his work. It's his work. That is why you can be really brought low by things, by judgments of others. And as you take them to the Lord, and as you stop condemning them, you will be raised again, because he is the judge, isn't it? He sees that. He sees that. And also he sees that you are, you say, oh, because these people are judging and they are just so bad. And you look down on them, you say like, oh, they are not saved. Perhaps they are not saved. You see, I doubt their salvation. I wonder whether the Holy Spirit lives in them. This is not right attitude either. And such a body that entertained those thoughts, I can assure you that this body will run into trouble sooner or later. And how many places who disintegrated because they didn't hold fast to the truth. They go by other means of making churches strong, or well, they can be manufactured. A manufactured unity, I said that I call it a notion of of unity. It's false unity. No, but this is the true unity where we are all called. Because here, Jesus is quoting, Paul is quoting the Old Testament text. He's quoting the Old Testament text, Isaiah 54:23. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. They will acknowledge him to be the only judge. And that prophecy, 700 before the coming of Christ. You see, and Christ fulfills this, the Lord of the dead and the living. So then each of us will give an account of himself, whether you consider yourself to be strong and looking down on the weak, or being weak and condemning those who are strong. Christ is the one who keeps us all. And as we have this attitude as his people, as the Holy Spirit is pointing to something in your heart this morning that you need to put out with the Lord, you need to do it. Because you can't go on with this. Perhaps a friend at workplace you are avoiding because of their believe odd things. No, you need to cross and be good, like what we heard from these children today. Apostle Paul, he was raised up so that he can be good to others. And Hananiah also, he was strengthened by the Lord, because Paul was a weak Jew. He was killing people in the name of their religion. He was weak, isn't it? He didn't understand. But he thought he was strong. And then he was converted. And then now he took the lowly position. He was not passing judgment on these people. That is why he was able to receive the Holy Spirit, this revelation, and send it to the Romans. He was in that state, isn't it? He was in that state. Can God change people? Can God change you? My problem with people always is when they think that God cannot change them, that the Holy Spirit cannot change them. I will have no problem a lot with someone who is just being so bad. But if they come and present themselves to the Lord, because I know even for myself, I can't change myself. Even I couldn't give up smoking. It's only the Lord who did that. Perhaps if you are still smoking, you have some bondages. God can break them even today. Whether it's alcohol, too much alcohol, because we will be talking about this later. But it's not an example here. So any addiction, God can break it. Even an opinion that you are holding to, that is not of God, God can reveal it to you and you break away from it. He is the Lord himself. All these bondages and addictions, God Almighty can change them. The power of the Holy Spirit can demolish them to make you a strong body today. Well, the Lord is our judge, and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, all that you need to do is to repent. And if you have been struggling and because other people are not changing and you got it right, well, the Bible says, like, humble yourself. Don't pass on any judgment. The Lord sees all these things. So that if you have this perspective, you will be free. Because this is the liberty of the children of God. We are called to be free. And so, whatever you eat, because the Bible says we all give thanks, but you may not want to eat a deadly thing, isn't it? Something that has been tested, that can kill you. But if you want to eat pork, because other people can't eat it, so that is fine. You can eat that. So we share these things today because Jesus knows that we can get it wrong altogether. But Romans 14, 1 to 12 is a chapter that you need to think about whenever you are faced with this situation. Let us pray.